إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today we begin the discussion of the fourth principle by the Sheikh Zayd bin Muhammad bin Hadi al-Madkhali حفظه تعالى. And the fourth principle, as you recall, relates to the issue of knowledge. What is knowledge? Al-ilm, and who are the ulama, the scholars? And what is fiqh, and who are the fuqaha? What is the understanding of the religion, the issues of jurisprudence, and who are the scholars of jurisprudence? And the intent behind this principle is to illustrate that there are those who are the true people of knowledge, the true people of knowledge, and there are those who try to resemble them from the people of falsehood and the people of innovation. And a lesson is drawn from a passage in Surah Al-Baqarah, which Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab makes reference to. And in this passage, which relates to the Bani Israel, there is an indication of something of their behavior and something of their traits and characteristics which indicate and which show that it clashes with knowledge and fiqh of the religion, and it shows that it is other than the way that the ulama and the fuqaha behave. And then after this, in the principle, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he points out that this is a matter clearly explained likewise in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then this issue, the understanding of this issue, became overturned, such that knowledge and fiqh was treated to be synonymous with innovation and misguidance. And anyone who invited to this knowledge and this fiqh, he was treated to be either mad or a heretic. And anyone who began to author works to refute the knowledge and to refute this fiqh, then this person was taken to be the faqih and the alim, the true scholar, and the true true scholar. So the Shaykh, he begins his discussion of this principle by saying that how many examples are there in which, meaning in the Sharia texts, how many examples are there, how many equivalent examples are there in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He has explained the position of the Sharia knowledge, the lofty position of the Shari'i knowledge, and likewise the lofty position of the scholars who have knowledge of the Sharia, and likewise the position of the Islamic fiqh, the Islamic jurisprudence, which is taken from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with the correct understanding, and also the position of the fuqaha, the jurists who are the leaders and the chiefs of the ummah, meaning the scholars and the fuqaha. And they are the noble ones of every society. In every society, those who are the ulama and the fuqaha of the Sharia, then they are the nobles of every society. Why is this? This is because these individuals have struggled and striven and have spent the majority of their time, the bulk of their time, in gaining an understanding of the deen of Allah. And this, meaning to gain an understanding of the deen of Allah, is a sign of the success and happiness of the one who strives in order to gain this fiqh. And this we derive from the famous statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fi ad-din." To whomsoever Allah intends to show goodness, to whom He intends goodness for, He will grant him an understanding of the religion, reported by Al-Bukhari, Muslim and others. So the fuqaha, the jurists, those who have the fiqh and the understanding with respect to the book of their Lord and the sunnah of the messenger of their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which is authentic, they are the people who have sidq. They are the people of truthfulness and the people of ikhlas, of sincerity, and the people of al-bayan wal-nush, meaning that they explain and clarify and they advise the ummah. These are their qualities: sincerity, truthfulness, and also clarifying and explaining for the benefit of the ummah. And so therefore they are the most noble of the people. The most noble, they are the ashraf and the fudula. Fudula, they are the noble, lofty people. Why? Because they have taken from the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is very, which is very costly or worthy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the Quran, dividing the ummah into three categories, He said, as occurs in Surah Fatir, Surah 35, verse number 32, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَسِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. Then we made to inherit the book, those of our servants whom we chose. Amongst them is the one who wrongs his own self, his own soul, and amongst them is the one who is moderate in between, and amongst them are those who are foremost in good deeds by the permission of Allah. That is the greatest bounty. So here we see that there are three groupings in this ummah: those who are wronging their own souls, meaning those who fall short in the wajibat and who fall into something of the muharramat, the acts of sin and disobedience. And then there are those who are the muqtasidun, those who are in between, they fulfill all the obligations, keep away from all of the prohibitions. And then there are those who are the sabiqun, who are the foremost, and they do all of the wajibat, keep away from all of the muharramat, and then they bring on top of that that which is mustahab, that which is recommended, and they keep away from that which is makruh, and so therefore that which is makruh. So therefore they are the in the loftiest position, they are the highest of the three groups, and amongst them are the ulama and the fuqaha. They are the ulama and the fuqaha amongst that group, and they are the most noble of that group. And this is so in every time and in every place. The scholars who have knowledge of the shara', the legislation of Allah, and who act upon that as well, and they don't just limit and restrict the benefit of that knowledge to themselves, rather that knowledge goes beyond themselves and it benefits other people besides them as well. So we see how their reward, we see how great is their reward, that if they are sincere and if they are correct in that which they convey, and if they are truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how much reward comes to them, in the sense that everything they do, they bring, they say, they act upon, and they are truthful to the societies in which they live, because they give them advice, sincere advice, then how much reward is for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Do good, for indeed Allah loves those who do good. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse 195. So the point here made by the Shaykh is that these scholars have a tremendous amount of reward on account of what they do, on account of their striving to gain fiqh in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they act upon that. Then they convey that out of being truthful and sincere to the societies in which they live. And you see, so this is the way of the ulama in every age and era. And we take the examples of the scholars, the notable examples of the scholars. Imam Ahmad rahimahullahu ta'ala, wasn't he truthful and sincere to the society in which he lived? Because he stood and defended the aqidah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with respect to the Qur'an, that the Qur'an is uncreated, and he bore harms and suffering to that end. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, who resolved himself to refute and expose all types of batil, the batil of the mutakallimeen, the ahlul kalam, the batil of the mutasawwifeen, the Sufis who believed in wahdatul wujud and other than that, the batil of the mutafalsifa, those philosophers who try to undermine Islam with their futile false arguments, likewise the batiniyya, the qaramita, and all the other, the rafida, the shia, and all of them, all of this is after striving to gain fiqh in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter acting upon that, and thereafter conveying that and teaching that out of sincerity and truthfulness to the society in which he was living. And the same with Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, that which he did was out of truthfulness and sincerity to Allah first and foremost, and then to the Book of Allah, and to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, and then to the society in which he lived. This is the way, and this is the fruits and the benefits of the ulama. And likewise, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, in our time, that he arose in a time when the jama'at of Hizbiyyah, all of the jama'at which were initiated and founded in the first half of the 20th century, Ikhwanul Muslimin, Jama'atul Tabligh, Hizbut Tahrir, Jama'atul Jihad, and all those other, which arose in the early or the mid 20th century. And when he came, he called to that prophetic manhaj, At-Tasfiyah wa-Tarbiyah, purification and cultivation. And this was after spending decades and decades of seeking ilm, seeking knowledge, and striving and gaining fiqh in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then being sincere and truthful to the society in connecting them to the way and the creed and the methodology of the Salaf. And therefore we see that he began to speak against the Ikhwanul Muslimin and the Asha'ira and the Maturidiyya, when he began to make tahqiqat, make verifications of certain books which he published, like Aqidatul Tahawiyya and the Sharh of Ibn Abil Izzal Hanafi, and he spoke against the various jama'at, or the Ikhwan and the Tabligh, and he continued in this way right till the end of his life, when he spoke against the Khawarij, the Kharijiyya Asriya, and other than them, and the jama'at of Hizbiyya, and the politicians who engage in the revolutions and the marches and demonstrations and entry into parliamentary democracy and so on and so forth. All of this is from the sidq and ikhlas with the society in which he lived. And the same is said about the scholars in our time who are alive. From them, the likes of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Rabi' Ibn Hadi Al-Madkhali, and many of the other ulama who have a great role in not just teaching the affairs of worship that people need in their daily lives, but also those crucial affairs in which truth is distinguished from the falsehood, sunnah from bid'ah, Islam or iman from kufr, tawheed from shirk, the manhaj of the salaf from the manhaj of the hizb, the manahij of the hizbiyin. So the scholars, when they behave in this way, when the scholars behave in this way and they fulfill all of these affairs, this is from their sidq, this is from their truthfulness and sincerity towards the societies in which they live. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he directed his ummah to behave in this way, to be like this, to be like the scholars, the ulama and the fuqaha. And he mentioned the great rewards that a person has in guiding other than him. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَوَاللَّهِ لِأَنْ يَحْدِ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النِّعَمِ. He's addressing Ali radiallahu anhu, and he said, by Allah, that Allah should guide by way of you, a single man is better for you than the best red camel, which was a prized possession in that time. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, indeed, Allah and His angels and the people of the heaven and the people of the earth, until even the ant in its nest and the fish in the sea, they pray for the teacher of good, the one who teaches mankind goodness. And likewise, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man dalla ala khairin, falahu mithlu ajri fa'ilih." That whoever directed someone else to good, then he will have the equivalent reward of the one who acts upon it. And likewise, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Addalu ala al-khair kafa'ilih." That the one who directs to goodness, he is just like the one who actually acts upon it or performs, who acts upon it. So from all of these texts, we see an encouragement to be like, to be ulama and to be fuqaha within the capacity that each person has. And the people of fiqh, the people of jurisprudence and the fuqaha and the people of the shari'i knowledge, they are the ones who don't conceal this knowledge. Rather, they spread it seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hoping in His mercy, and also in order to save mankind from their innovations and misguidances and their disobedience. All of this, this is what the scholars do. And all of this will be a great means of reward for them, because that which they call to, the da'wah that they have, is something that continues to extend and to continue up until Yawmul Qiyamah. And so therefore we see that generation after generation, they benefit from that knowledge. Their da'wah essentially never cuts off. That's why you see the da'wah of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in protecting the Sunnah from the Khawarij and the Rawafid and the Qadariyah and the Murji'ah. That da'wah is present today, because by way of them we know that da'wah which is batil. And so in every single generation, that benefit of the Sahaba has carried through in every generation. And then likewise, the ulama from the Tabi'een, who spoke against the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and other than them, their da'wah has continued generation after generation, even after they passed away. And then after them, the tabi'een, by the time we start reaching the likes of Imam Malik, and then thereafter Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, and other than them, that da'wah, when they spoke against the Kullabiyyah, and the Karramiyyah, and the Ash'ariyyah, and Salimiyyah, and other than them, that da'wah is continuing today. So the da'wah of an alim never ceases. Rather, the generation after generation continues to benefit from his knowledge. And that's why we see in the course of seeking knowledge, we always, what do we hear? We hear, قَالَ فُلَانٌ قَالَ الْعَالِمُ قَالَ الْفَقِيحُ قَالَ الْمُحَدِّثُ. This is what we see in the books, that this alim said, or the alim said, the alim so-and-so said, this faqih, this jurist said, and this muhaddith said, and their names are mentioned generation after generation after generation. And so therefore we see that their benefit continues in every age and era. And the mention of the alim, this is from the nobility and the raising of an alim, the raising of an alim, that his name is mentioned generation after generation. So these scholars are the ones who knew the truth, they learnt the truth, they acted upon the truth, and they taught other people this truth. Knowledge, action, and teaching. Knowledge, action, and teaching. Knowledge, action, and teaching. This is, who is this? This is the Alim Rabbani. This is the Alim who cultivates others with the knowledge that he himself has striven to acquire and to act upon. This is the Alim Rabbani. And this is what every person is encouraged to become within his or her capacity, within everyone's capacity. Everyone is encouraged to become an Alim Rabbani. So then Shaykhul Islam, he says that in the Sunnah, going back to the text of Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, after he mentions the beginning passage about what is mentioned in the Quran, then he says وَيَزِيدُهُ وَضُوحًا مَا صَرَّحَتْ بِهِ السُنَّةُ فِي هَذَا الْكَلَامُ الْكَثِيرَ الْبَيْنِ الْوَادِحِ لِلْعَامِي الْبَلِيدِ. That the Sunnah has effectively further clarified the speech in a great and very clear way to the common person. And this simply means that the principle itself is very evident and clear in the Quran already. It is already clear and evident in the Quran that this is the way of the alim and the faqih, and this is what is knowledge, al-ilm, and this is what is fiqh. The Quran has already made that clear. But in the Sunnah, there is an additional elaboration that makes it even more apparent for the common person. And then at the end, Shaykhul Islam mentions the overturning of the scales, that ilm and fiqh became considered to be bid'ah and dalalat, and anyone who called to it was treated to be a zindiq and a majnoon, and anyone who warned against it and wrote books against it, he was the true alim and the true faqih. So regarding this, the Shaykh comments upon this, the last half of this principle, and he says, this is in the view of whom? Meaning, who are the people who are upon this? Who are the people who treat the issue of knowledge and fiqh in this manner? Who are they? And whose words are these? Whose dictionary is this to use this language of bid'ah and dalalat and zindiq and majnoon for the one who calls to this fiqh and this knowledge? Whose dictionary is this? And in whose hearts does this emanate from? And the answer to this is very apparent and very clear. Of course, it is from the Ahlul Bid'ah wa Dalal, the people of innovation and misguidance, whether it is those who are upon innovations of kufr or innovations which simply make a person sinful and disobedient. And of course, the difference between them is that the first, those whose innovations are mukaffira, then it takes them outside of the fold of Islam, if they were already amongst the Muslimin. And as for the second, it does not expel them from the fold of Islam, but makes them sinful and under the threat of punishment. Now these people, they are the ones, meaning these are the ones who are fighting against ilm and fiqh, the true ilm and the true fiqh, and against those who call to that. And we see that these people amongst them, chief amongst them, and the ones who are primarily being addressed by Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, are the worshippers of the graves, the grave worshippers, those exaggerationists who exaggerate regarding the people who are buried in the tombs in every age and in every era. We see these are the people who have made calamities come to the people, to societies, by way of their misguidance. We see that these innovations of grave worship, these evil innovations involving grave worship. We see that they have filled the eastern and western parts of the earth after the first three generations. This occurred in the time of the state of the Ubaydis. The Ubaydis, they are a group of Rafidi, Shia, Batiniya, who were from North Africa. And in only 200 years, so we are speaking here that after the first three centuries of Islam, in northern Egypt, when these people appeared in the middle of the 4th century, meaning around 300-350 Hijra, these people appeared in North Africa, in just simply two centuries, these people spread an enormous amount of innovation and directed the people to misguidance and to shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these people, as Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says about them, that these people who they were called the Fatimiyun, ascribing themselves to Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, this is a false claim. They are not from the descendants of Fatima radiallahu anha. Rather, they are the descendants of those whose genealogy and whose lineage goes back to the Yahud. And these individuals, as Ibn Kathir says, were extremely, extremely rich. They had a great deal of wealth, and at the same time they were the most oppressive, sinful, filthy, vile of the kings in their behavior and in the secrets that they concealed. And in their state, in their nation, in their state, there appeared innovations and evils, and corruption spread, and the righteous people and the scholars and the worshippers, they diminished and became less. Now these people, what they would do is they would decorate the graves and the tombs and the shrines, and they would place expensive clothing and perfume, and they would on their so-called scholars and their so-called worshippers, and they would parade them amongst the people and parade them amongst the ignorant people and make them think that these are the awliya of Allah, upon whom is no fear and no grief. And they would say that these are the people whom, if you want something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want something from Allah and you are sinful people and you are people in need, then come to them and seek from them your needs and seek from them rescue from your calamity through their honor and through their essences and so on and so forth, because they will hear you. And they're speaking here to those who are deceased, those who were dead, who they made to be the righteous awliya of Allah, and whom they treated to be the righteous saints. And they said they will listen to you, they will raise your affairs to Allah to bring about benefits for you and remove the harms from you. And in this manner, by spending and using from their wealth, because they had a great amount of wealth, then they misguided people and led them to the very same of the very same as that which the kuffar of the Arab were upon, those mushrikeen. And the situation became such that which they were commanding the people in their time, meaning in the state of the Ubaydis, it was the same as what Allah has narrated in the Quran about the people of shirk, that they said, as occurs in Surah Sad, أَنِمْشُوا وَاصْبِرُوا عَلَىٰ آلِهَتِكُمْ إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ يُرَادٌ مَا سَمِعْنَا بِهَذَا فِي الْمِلَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا اخْتِلَاقٌ. Continue, proceed, and have patience upon your gods. Indeed, this is the desired thing. We have not heard of this, meaning this call to La ilaha illallah. We have not heard of this previously. This is just something invented and fabricated, something new. So the affair became exactly as that which Allah described in the Quran against the mushrik Arabs of the time and the nations which had gone past. And so we see that this ummah went through a period when the majority of them have turned into this condition or this state, a state which angers Allah, Al-Kabir, Al-Muta'al, the one who is great and the one who is lofty. However, despite all of this, we see that the Ummah, we see that the earth still has ulama, still has scholars, scholars of the Sharia, scholars who have fiqh in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever they are found in any place or time, they are put to trial. They are put to trial because they explain to the people that which is shirk. And they explain that this shirk is no different to the shirk of that which the kuffar in the time of the Messenger of Allah used to be upon. And there is no difference between the mushrikeen in that time and this time in terms of the form of that which they are doing. Worshipping the people in the tomb, seeking aid and rescue from them. Because what they said is what the likes of these people say. They say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا. We do not worship them except that they may bring us closer to Allah. And all of them say, we believe in Allah. He is the creator, the provider, the sustainer, the one who gives life, the one who takes life. But then they direct their worship to other than Allah, to the people in the tombs, the people in the graves, those whom they claim are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make offerings to them. They believe that they will bring about benefit and remove harm, in, you know, such benefit and harm that only Allah has power and control over. So the point being here is that innovations are a disease. They are a disease. And the greatest of them are those which expel a person from the fold of Islam. So therefore, there is absolutely nothing from these innovations which should be treated lightly, because innovations are an evil, a widespread, they are an evil upon the people of Islam and upon societies in which they are spread. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned against innovation even when no innovation had even appeared. He said, and in fact this is from the miraculous affairs, from the knowledge that he was given. So for he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Beware of the newly invented affairs. For every newly invented affair is an innovation, every innovation is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the hellfire. And he never made an exception for any type of innovation. All innovations, whether they are in speech, or whether they are in belief, or whether they are actions, whether they are small, whether they are large. Why? Because in every single innovation, there is an accusation, an inherent, implicit accusation against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that it is deficient. And at the same time, it is resembling Allah, or making partnership with Allah in the issue of legislating, because only Allah legislates that which is to be from his deen. And this is a great and evil crime, and the only people who are safe and secure from this crime are those who turn to the book of their Lord and the authentic sunnah of their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they pursue and seek after the manhaj of the Salaf al-Salih, and then they become students at the hands of those who are the followers of the book and the sunnah and the manhaj of the Salaf al-Salih. And so what they do is that they make tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they pursue, they take the ways and the means. The ways and the means is seeking knowledge from the ulama. And when they do this, then they will achieve the objective. When they make tawakkul upon Allah and they take the means, then they arrive at the objective. And when they turn away from the means, meaning they turn away from the ulama, they turn away from the scholars, and they leave tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the objectives and the goals will be lost, and then the results will be evil, and they will not be beneficial at all. So therefore, the innovations amongst them are those that are related to aqidah, in belief, and amongst them are those, the bid'ahs of the Jahmiya, and the bid'ahs of I'tizal, the Mu'tazila, the bid'ahs of the Ash'ariyya, the bid'ahs of Tasawwuf, the extreme Sufis. All of these are misguiding innovations. Some of them expel from the fold of Islam, and some of them place a person in a very precarious and a dangerous situation. And likewise, innovations appear in the affairs of worship, not just belief, but in the affairs of worship, such as that which relates to the prayer, for example, the salah, and the azkar, and the form of the salah. And likewise, there are those that relate to the mu'amalat. So we have aqaid, we have ibadat, and we have the mu'amalat. In mu'amalat, there are innovations, such as making that which is haram to be halal, and that which is haram to be halal, and that which is halal to be haram. And likewise, there are innovations in manahij, in methodologies, in the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are those who claim to be du'at to Allah, callers to Allah, but rather they are du'at to batil, to falsehood, such as those who take the way of the khawarij in their da'wah. And so they use all of their strengths and their powers and their resources in facing against the rulers and those who are the delegates of the rulers. And they take various ways and means that none of the messengers of Allah ever knew or called to. And such as, for example, assassinations, coups, secret organizations, marches, demonstrations, rallies, and so on and so forth. All of these are innovated ways and means which divert and lead away from the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He describes the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He drew a line in the sand and he said, "Hadha sabilullah." And then he drew lines to the right and left and he said, "Hadhihi subulun mutafarriqa." Says these are the paths of different paths. And then he pointed to the middle line and he said, and then he recited the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Wa anna hadha sirati mustaqiman fattabi'uh wa la tattabi'u subula فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون." This is my straight path. Follow it and do not follow the other paths, lest it separate you from that path. This is what he advises you with in order that you may have taqwa. So when the affair is like this, the Shaykh says, when the affair is like this, then it is obligatory upon all of us that we strive with our utmost to acquire the shari'i knowledge. The shari'i knowledge, that we all strive to acquire the shari'i knowledge. Because this is the entire point behind this principle. What is the entire point behind this principle? It is to know who are the ulama and who are the fuqaha, so that we can go to them and seek knowledge from them. That's the whole import and the intent behind this principle. And so the Shaykh says that when the affair is like what we've mentioned, then it is obligatory upon us to strive in acquiring the shari'i knowledge and to take it from the speech of from the mouths and the speech of the deeply rooted scholars in the shari'i knowledge, those who traverse upon the Salafi manhaj, and that we choose the various books whose pages contain that which is beneficial, and that we reject innovation, and that we boycott its people, and we free ourselves from them, their actions, because the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has warned us from that. And this is the case in every field of knowledge, meaning innovation in every field of knowledge. It doesn't matter which field of knowledge it is. Bid'ah in any field of knowledge is evil, and likewise in any field of action, it is all evil. Why? Because it is a form of deception towards Islam and the Muslimin. It is deception against Islam and the Muslimin. And every goodness, all of it entirety, is in the Book of our Lord and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the understanding of the righteous Salaf. And evil in its entirety is in whatever opposes that. And so long as the people are upon goodness, they're upon goodness to small or large amounts, and likewise there are people upon evil in small or large amounts. And so the person upon whom is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings the ways and the means, the causes of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to gain his knowledge and his understanding of the deen of Allah from the ulama and the fuqaha, the righteous ulama and the fuqaha, the true ulama and the fuqaha, upon the book of Allah, the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, upon the righteous, upon the manhaj and the fahm, the understanding of the righteous salaf. And this is the path of guidance, and the one who deviates from this, then he is the one who perishes. And after this, the Shaykh concludes and finishes with a number of verses in the Quran to encourage us in this regard, that racing towards good deeds, racing towards all of this, towards what the principle is inviting us towards, that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encouraged his servants in the Quran, as he says in Ali Imran, Surah Ali Imran, verse 133,
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
Race towards forgiveness from your Lord, and a garden whose breadth is as the heavens and the earth, that is prepared for the muttaqeen, those who have taqwa. And he says also in Surah Al-Hadid, Surah 57, verse 21,
سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ.
Race towards forgiveness from your Lord and a garden whose breadth is as the breadth of the heavens and the earth, prepared for those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. That is the bounty of Allah. He gives it to whomever He wills, and Allah is the possessor of great bounty. And finally, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, the 83rd Surah, verse number 26, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And for that, meaning the paradise and whatever is therein, let those who compete, let them compete with each other, let them race each other with respect to that. And with this, the explanation of the Shaykh is concluded here. And in summary, we see that the Shaykh has pointed out to us the benefits we derive from this principle, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pointed out to us in his book the virtue of knowledge, ilm and fiqh, and the fuqaha and the ulama, and that this is an encouragement for us to seek the fiqh in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to become like those who are the ulama ar-rabbaniyun, the scholars who cultivate, the scholars who strive to acquire knowledge and to act upon it, and then to call other people to it and to nurture them upon it. And that we are warned from the saying or the position of the people of bid'ah, because only the people of bid'ah are the ones who turn the scales the other way around. They turn their innovations into actual knowledge. They turn their corrupt beliefs into actual knowledge. They turn their innovated affairs in the ibadat and the mu'amalat to be the actual fiqh, to be the fiqh in the deen of Allah. They turn things the other way around. Then they warn against the true ulama and the true fuqaha. And that we beware of these innovations and the people of innovation, and that the path to deliverance is by taking this knowledge, seeking out this knowledge from the ulama, the true ulama, those who call to the book and the sunnah upon the fahm of the salaf al-salih, and who are free from these evils, and that this is the path to deliverance, the path to safety, this is the straight path of Allah, and that we avoid everything in terms of innovation in the aqa'id, in beliefs, in the ibadat, in the worship, in the mu'amalat, in the dealings, in the manahij, in the methodologies, and that everyone should race towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in forgiveness, seeking His forgiveness. And this is done by seeking the shari'i knowledge from its people. And with that, we conclude the explanation of the Sheikh Zayd Muhammad bin Hadi al-Madkhali, hafizahullah ta'ala. And with that, we conclude. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.